Well, the elements are now on the table, and while some further verses are sung, those who come to the table, I should say there are two tables today, and those who would come to the first table, if you come forward to the table. And also I would wish to mention that only those who have a token should come to the table, have a right to come to the table, those who have received a token from the elders. So we continue singing from verse 5, Psalm 116 from verse 5, God merciful and righteous is, yea gracious is our Lord, God saves the meek, I was brought low, he did me help afford. O thou my soul, do thou return into thy quiet rest, for largely lo the Lord to thee his bounty hath expressed, and so on. We may sing from verse 5, God merciful and righteous is, yea gracious is our Lord. Now read the warrant for the sacrament, as we have this in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, and reading from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so on. And we read that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and that he gave thanks. And we would endeavour to follow his example. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that we would be indeed giving thanks to thee. What shall we render to the Lord for all his gifts to us? And the greatest gift of all is the gift of thy Son. And we would reiterate the words of the Apostle, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, for a gift that no words can describe, the gift of the one who bore the griefs and carried the sorrows of his people, and with whose stripes they are healed. Oh, may we have worthy views of him. May we have worthy views of the Father forgiving his Son. And may we have worthy views of the Son who gave himself, who gave his life a ransom for many. And may we have worthy views of the Holy Spirit, who wrought a work in the hearts of thy people, without which the work of the Saviour would not avail. There must be the convincing of sin, and there must be the directing of the person to Christ, and the bringing on of that person. And oh, blessed be thy name for the Holy Spirit applying that work. And we pray that we would have a consciousness of how unworthy we are, and of how great thou art, and that we would be getting good from the word and the sacrament this day, that we would be enabled to enter into the experience of the spouse in the song, when she said, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, to the house of wine, and his banner over me was love. O, may thy banner over us be love as we are around thy table, remembering the Saviour's death, the death that secured life, an eternal life for thy people. And we pray that we would be remembering him particularly. We cannot but think of ourselves when we think of the death Christ died, that he loved me and gave himself for me, the apostle could say. But may our thoughts be especially upon him, the one who is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. And may we be enabled to rest upon him, to have all our hope and our confidence in him. We pray that we'll be getting good then from that which speaks of his broken body and shed blood, the bread and the wine, and that such parts that are set aside at this time from a common to a holy use would be to our spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. And we pray that thou wouldst enable thy people to get good, to be strengthened inwardly, and to be able to say with the psalmist, thou, my fainting soul with strength, did strengthen inwardly. Lord, bless thy word to us, bless to us the sacrament, bless to us all thy dealings with us, and help us to be giving glory and honour to thee in all that we are about, and graciously cleanse us from our many sins, wash us in the atoning blood. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Well, friends, you're at the Lord's table once again in obedience to his command to do this in remembrance of me. And you will be seeking to have your thoughts very much upon Christ and upon the work that he did. That is where the great focus should be as we are remembering his death. If you'd like to, just for a few minutes, direct your thoughts to words we have in the the book of Genesis and chapter 15 and the words of the Lord to Abraham when the Lord said to Abraham, "Fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not, Abraham." Abraham had just rescued Lot from the who was taken as a prisoner by the kings and that were at war with one another, and Abraham raised an army and rescued Lot. And no doubt one of the fears he would have would be that those kings would combine against him and take revenge because of what he did, not just rescuing Lot, but others who were held in captivity and who were the enemy that was dealt with. The fear that there would be repercussions, that would be one fear. And also it's clear when you go on to the verses that follow in that chapter that Abraham seemed to have the fear that he would have no successor, that the one that was promised, that he is remembered that his seed would be as the sand of the shore for multitude and the stars of heaven, and there was no sign of a son, and that would be another fear he had. But the Lord was saying to him, "Fear not, Abraham, fear not." And you are at his table today and you will have fears, no doubt, and perhaps you can look back and you can remember the fear you had when you first came to see your need as a sinner before the Lord, and the fear you had that you were going to perish in your sins. It can be an awful experience to be brought face to face with the reality of our sins and to realize that whatever we may have thought of ourselves previously, that we are sinners against the God of heaven. And you have that fear, and your mind may often go back to that fear. Well, no longer you have that particular fear, because you will have some confidence that it is well with your soul. But there's other fears, and there's the fear that the great enemy that you have will prove to be too much for you. And you may be saying, as David said with regards to Saul, "One day I will perish at the hands of Saul." You've got a great enemy and the evil one, and you know something of the attacks of the enemy and the warfare that you have with him, and also with the world. That's a great threat because of the corruption within, and you wonder, how can I possibly overcome? Well, remember what was said to Abraham. "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. I will protect you. I will come between you and your enemy." And that is what the Lord is saying to yourself today at his table. Yes, you have a warfare to fight. There's no getting away from that. But you're not fighting this warfare on your own. You have his promise. And with his shield, he will come between you and all your enemies, and will come between you and the justice of God. That would be your ruin, but that has been met with, and the blessed Savior will defend you with the shield, will come between you and every enemy. And he is saying, "Fear not, for I am thy shield. I am thy shield. I will protect you." And you have that promise, not just at one time or other in your life, but all throughout your life, that he will continue to preserve you and keep you. You will be preserved until your time in this world will come to an end. And then it will be well with you forever. Once this world comes to an end, your time in this world comes to an end, there will be the warfare will be at an end, and you will be forever with the Lord. But that's to be remembered at his table, that the Lord is promising to be your shield and to protect you. And let us remember the basis for all of this was his sufferings and death, and that is the purpose of have been here today around this table to remember his death. If there was no death, there could be no shield, there could be no protection, there could be no promise. But everything is on the basis of the work that he did, and on the basis of that you can have confidence, and you can say that all your hope and your confidence is placed on the Lord alone. Well, we will not withhold from you any longer the bread and the wine that speaks of the Lord's sufferings and death. And we read today the passage been thinking of the words of the Lord to Abraham, "Fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield." And the Lord went on to say, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And we believe that there's significance in these words, in the fact that Abraham had just been offered a reward by the king of Sodom. Remember how Abraham not only rescued Lot, his nephew, but he also rescued those that were other captives that belonged to Sodom. And the king of Sodom offered a reward to Abraham, but Abraham refused. He wouldn't take anything from the king of Sodom, lest it should be said that this king had made Abraham rich. But although he would accept no reward from the king of Sodom, the Lord offered him a reward. "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And in other words, the Lord was saying to Abraham, you won't be a loser by refusing to take anything from the king of Sodom. There's a reward that you will enjoy. And that's so with yourself today at this table. You will not be a loser. You will not lose out by coming out on the Lord's side and becoming a follower of the Lord. None will lose by it. There may be trials, and there will be trials on the way. That is assured for every one of the Lord's people. In this world ye shall have tribulation. Ye shall have tribulation. It doesn't say you may have, but you shall have. And the Lord's people know, you know yourself, some of these trials, some are more than others. But the troubles that afflict the just in number many be. But the Lord will at length set his people free, and they will have a reward. And the reward is the Lord himself. "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy reward. I am the one who will reward you and who is your reward." And the psalmist gives light on that when he says, "Thou my sure portion art alone, which I did choose, O Lord." The Lord himself, to have him, to know him, to be like him, to be with him, that's surely the reward that belongs to his people. But there's also this. He says, "I am thy reward." It doesn't say, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and will be thy reward." But I am, even in this world, the reward. And the Lord's people know something. You know something at his table today of that reward, even in this life. There's blessings in the midst of all the struggles and all the troubles that you may have and will have. Yet there's blessings in the midst of it all. And it's like the Israelites in the wilderness. Yes, there were struggles, but there were times that they had rest. They came to Elim, and there were the palm trees, and there were the wells of water. And there are times like that, of course, we could Compare that to the communion season, but there's times also in your soul's experience when the Lord draws near, and when the clouds are removed that come between yourself and the sun shines upon you, and you can say in the language of Solomon, truly the light is sweet, and it's a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. You get glimpses of the Sun of Righteousness, and oh, what a reward is that. But of course the great reward is, as we touched on already, being with him. When we shall see him, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. That's the great reward. But the words addressed to Abraham are applicable to yourself today at his table. Fear not, I am thy shield and the exceeding great reward. Now in light of that, there's an obligation, and it's good to bear that in mind at his table, that the Lord requires of you to walk humbly before him. What does the Lord require of you? But to love mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly with thy God. And it should be a resolve at his table today to be seeking grace, and how we need that. We can't take one step in the right direction without grace. But he's promised grace. He will give grace and he will give glory. And you'll be asking for grace. And he will give grace for every trial, for every difficulty that you may be in. Whatever there may be ahead. And none of us knows what's ahead of us. There's many things may come our way, and no doubt will. But hitherto, the Lord has helped us. And we are to be seeking grace from day to day, and going on in the strength of God the Lord. Well, with those few thoughts, and with the Lord's praise on your lips and his grace in your hearts, you will now rise from the table singing to God's praise in Psalm 103, from the beginning of the psalm. Psalm 103. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is. Be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. Bless, O my soul, the Lord thy God, and not forgetful be of all his gracious benefits he hath bestowed on thee. All thine iniquities he doth most graciously forgive, who thy diseases all and pains doth heal and thee relieve, and so on. We sing from the beginning of the psalm. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up.